Welcome again. It's so good to see you, and I'm actually so glad you all came back. That's really great. That's good news. I didn't know if I was going to see you after last week. Parenting is hard. Parenting is tough. But let me tell you, teaching on parenting is very tough. Because, I mean, I make my fair share of mistakes, and I, you know, a lot of things that I mess up in my life, and it's hard, you know. So I was just praying for you guys during the week, because I thought, you know, the enemy is so good with condemnation, bringing condemnation, you know, after you hear some scriptural truths. And so I just want to ask, how was this week? How did you find it helpful last week? Did you, throughout the week, experience some of the things we talked about, and, you know, just that application of the word, and, yeah, just that reminder of, you know, this is actually what I'm busy with, you know, and it's not supposed to be easy, and that's all helpful. The thing is, pressing that reset button that we talked about, it's a hard thing, you know, and it's something that you probably have to sit down with your family, you know, if you want to do that, whatever stage your kids are in, and in their level, explain to them, listen, guys, I know this is how life has been, and, you know, daddy was wrong, and mommy was wrong, and this is the way we've done things before, but we need to, you know, get under God's authority, and from now on, you know, we're going to do it, just so the kids know, because you can't suddenly just start changing things without letting everyone know. You need to be on the same page, and so that's sometimes just necessary to do. And the thing is, what you're going to find is they're going to test you on it as soon as you do it. Because that's what kids do. They try it the whole time. They try to press their boundaries and test the waters and see how far they can get. And like, do they really mean it? And the thing is, what I found is your kids do test you to see if you speak the truth. Because they feel safety is if you say something, if your word is your honor. You know, if you say, this is going to happen, that's going to be the consequence. If you give your word and you don't meet up with your word, then they're going to, oh yeah, you know, dad says that, but he doesn't really do that. So that's also an important thing we want to look at tonight. But I just want to encourage you again to remember two things. All things are possible with God, Matthew 19:26, and all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. And so last week we looked at these things, just to remind you, the calling, the responsibility of parenting. We look up the objective of parenting. What is our focus? To raise kids to know the Lord. And then the labor, you know, that we all know about of parenting, the roles of the husband and the wife in parenting, and the heritage. But the whole thing is really about, what are you trying to accomplish as a parent? And you know what? Paul said it so well, speaking of his spiritual children. In Galatians chapter 4, he said, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. And that's really the heart that we want for our kids. You know, we want to labor for them until Christ is formed in them. That's really the point. He said in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And that's what we want for ourselves, and that's what we want for our kids. That's what God wants for us and for our kids. You know, everything for his glory, that we may grow up, that we may understand the things that it's really about. And tonight, we want to talk about discipline. If you are taking notes, discipline, God's sanctifying work through parenting. That's the second of these three studies. And if I say sanctifying work, you may say, what do you mean by sanctifying? Well, sanctification is that work that God really starts in you after you get saved. The moment God brings you into that relationship with him, the moment that you open up your heart to him, God starts doing a work. He gives you his Holy Spirit, and he starts forming himself in you, to the, you know, that measure of the fullness of Christ, until that happens, this whole long process of sanctification. And so while we're busy living out our calling as parents, you know, training our kids in godliness, like I said last week, at the same time, God is busy working in us for the way of sanctifying us in the Christian life. Because God also wants to grow us in all things into Jesus, to become complete in him. He wants it for our kids, and he wants it for us. And this can only happen, I think I mentioned last week quickly, through heart change. If you address behavior the whole time, you're going to completely miss the boat. It's about heart change. It's about character of your kid. And that's the thing that we want to get to. And that's why you need to use the scripture. Because the change of the heart, you know, think about it. Changing your heart begins with conviction of sin. And yes, we can speak about ourselves too, but it's mainly thinking about our kids that don't really maybe even know the Lord yet. Or even if they do know the Lord, just that conviction of sin is what starts that heart change. Important, because both The change of the heart and conviction of sin, I want you to understand, can only be done through the Holy Spirit. So this is not something me as a parent or you as a parent can do. We cannot change our kid's heart. We cannot make things happen in him, because it's a relationship that's eventually going to be between him or her and the Lord Jesus Christ. But we cannot work in the heart. There's only God who can work in the heart. The change of the heart becomes by the Holy Spirit, as John 16 verse 8 says. Since we cannot even change our own hearts. You cannot change your heart, but you can change your mind. God will not change your mind, but God will change your heart if you change your mind. If that all makes sense. So for us, it's that renewing of the mind. Lord, I want to have a new mindset. And if you change your mind, then God will start doing that in your heart. You can never change your heart yourself. But God will not change your mind for you. And that's the same with our kids. To understand, God works exactly the same way in our kids. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in parenting, we help our kids to change their minds by teaching them God's word, because that's how they see sin. That's how the conviction comes into the life. You can tell your kid, that's wrong. And they're like, why is that wrong? You know, it has to be the conviction of the Holy Spirit before God that they understand in relationship to him that they are wrong before him. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So that's where we start. The sanctification process in us, and after our kids come to salvation, which is the focus, and then to see God sanctifying them, it all starts with the word, because that's where it comes from. Christ-like maturity happens as the word is applied by the Holy Spirit in my life. These two things are necessary. So as you parent, this is your manual. You should look to this the whole time. You should walk around with your Bible and ask the Lord to speak to you. Maybe there's an issue and you need to find it in the word, because the word, by the Holy Spirit, in a person's life, in your kid's life, is the only way they're going to change. And there's a third component, time. It's going to take time. There's no switches. So biblical parenting is not just a calling and a responsibility. It is that foremost, but it's also a skill that must be developed, because we train ourselves in godliness and we're going to train our kids. And like all good things, it takes time. So let's look there at Ephesians chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is obedience. In the first verse, we want to look at that. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Today, obedience, I think you can agree with me, is rare. The world that I grew up in, it's not that long ago, is vastly different from the world today. Today, obedience is just rare. You don't see that. It's almost like society is breeding a generation of brats. And that's a sign of the end times. That's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, in these last days, children will be disobedient to parents. But there's a reason for that. Disobedient to parents, because clearly no one needs to teach your kids to disobey. They just do it naturally. It's a sin in their life. They don't go to a corner and say, like, let me just tell you how to be really naughty. It just comes out of them because they are born in sin. And so we don't teach them disobedience, but we need to teach them about the obedience to the Lord. So children, obey your parents. That's a simple, straightforward command. And I want you to note that it's a command of the Lord. Children, obey your parents. And that's echoing God's law from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Colossians says the same thing in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things. That's one of those scriptures you want to maybe put a big note on, you know. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So this means two things. This means, first of all, children have the responsibility to obey. It's a command from God. That helps you as a parent to understand. It's not like you trying to expect something from them that God doesn't expect from them. You expect the same thing from them that God expects from them. Secondly, it means that parents have the responsibility to teach their children obedience. That's essential as stewards. So obedience is that basic training. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, training up a child in the way he should go. That's part of that basic. The first thing that you want to teach your child is to be obedient. Because your toddler, your little small kid, their thinking is, my life belongs to me, and you will not tell me what to put in my mouth. I will decide what I'm going to put in my mouth. That's the way that he's going to function, right? That's the sin coming out of himself, because obedience is willing submission to authority. We're going to see now the connection between obedience and authority is the big connection. But it will be a constant fight with anyone who's unsaved. And so if you have a young kid, like a toddler, toddlers, you know, they haven't come to a point of accountability where they had the choice to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ. So pretty much, you know, they're not in a saving relationship with Christ, and you cannot expect them to be different. But their life is about themselves. I want to have my way. Kids want to believe that they're self-sufficient human beings and that they can do what they want to do. And I know you all can understand exactly what I'm talking about. Not only do they want to make their own choices, you know what? They think they can make their own choices by themselves. And that's one big, huge mistake. They cannot. They cannot make the choices by themselves. Kid needs to realize that they are their own biggest problem, just like you and I are our own biggest problem. I mean, in my marriage, I'm my biggest problem. It's not my wife. And it's the same for every one of you. You are personally your biggest problem. It's always easy in the beginning to think, that's the other one. You know, it's like, must be that person, you know, that the Lord gave me. No, it's not. It's you. Because that's the way that God wants to work in you. And even, I mean, you can sit with all the reasons and all the lists why you are the right party, but you are the wrong one. It's always like that. God wants to work in us. And that's the main thing that your kid needs to learn. That he is the biggest problem in his own life. Kids need to understand their need for Jesus. Jesus said so clearly in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing you can do without me. Kids need to learn that. There's no way your child will just grow up and learn this by themselves. That's what you must understand. It's not a natural thing that your kid just going to, if you just leave him, he's going to learn obedience by himself. Never. It will never, ever happen. It's your job to teach your child obedience. Because what you have is little toddlers saying, this is my right. Don't tell me what to do. I want to do my thing. But you leave that kid and he becomes a teenager. Eventually, he'll end up with this idea of, this is who I am. God made me like this, so I guess he's okay with me being like this. Do you see the end result of that? That's totally wrong. God didn't make you like this. That's, you were left in your sin, and now you ended up like this. But then they think, God must be fine with me because, you know, this is obviously how I am. And your kids don't understand. So we need to ask them as small kids. We need to help them think about the reasons why they do these things. Because if you tell your kid, why did you do that? He's not going to say, oh, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm an idolater. You know, he's not going to say that. He doesn't have that concept of what idolatry is because he's living fully for himself. He's not regenerated. So we as the parents need to help them understand this is a spiritual battle and it's about the heart. And because the heart is not neutral, the heart always leans in you serve one or two masters, either God or idols. So whatever you say and do is reflected in the heart. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You just listen to your kid, and the things that they talk about is the things that's going on in their heart. It comes out of the mouth, the things that's in their heart. And they need to understand the gospel. And who better to teach them the gospel than their parents? It's a battle for their soul because they need a savior to rescue them. And that's what we must understand. They're not just going to grow up and everything's going to be fine. They need to be saved just like we were saved. And it's a fight for their heart. And their heart is wrong and they need to be saved from their sin. And they need to be saved also from the bondage to themselves because of this mindset that the life is about me. Everything centers around me. Everyone is here to please me. You know, I want to do what I like. And it says there, look at that first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. This means that parental obedience is part of their Christian obedience. This is something that God expects of them. If your child is not obeying you, he is not obeying God. And that's one of the main concepts we must understand in obedience. Because we normally treat obedience in survival mode. We just want everything to stop. Just calm down. Just stop. And we forget that it's a much higher thing at play here. It's about obedience before God. So if your child does not obey you, he's standing in sin before God. That means you're not training and admonishing and discipling them for yourself or from yourself. That's very important because obedience is something God commands. And so This is not for you. You're not asking him obedience because it's something you want. You're not asking him obedience because it's for you. It's all on behalf of God. You are just the agent acting on behalf of God. Also, if you're acting contrary to the heart and the will of God as a parent, then biblically, your child is under no obligation to obey you. If you are not reflecting God's heart in what you are trying to do with your kid, if you are being just in the flesh, there's nothing that your kid has to obey in that biblically, because it's about God's command. He says, this is right. Look there. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's God's command for children to obey their parents. It's right. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents, like I said, in all things, because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. We must help our children to ask questions to expose that attitude that is in their heart, that's sitting there, that's causing the bad behavior. And we do that, first of all, you need to talk to your kids. Conversation is very important with your children. Communication, conversation. Because parenting is not just rules, regulation, correction, punishment. It's not just saying, here's the things. If you don't do this, this is correction. This is the punishment. That's not parenting. There needs to be that two-way communication. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them. Listen to that word. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall talk. You should engage them, whatever you are doing. Today, me and David were driving home from church, and we got in this whole discussion about grace. And I was telling him how God, you know, just giving him all this grace, he needs to give out grace, you know. And he's like, but then I'll be all out of grace if I give away all my grace, you know. And I had to explain to him, it's like unlimited God's grace. There's no end. It's like a bucket. It just keeps on pouring and you keep getting. And so whatever situation, if you are driving on the road, if you are sitting in the house, or whatever you are busy, you should be talking, engaging your kids in these kind of conversations. Don't just reprove them. You need to tell them why it's wrong before God. If you just tell them, that's wrong, don't do it, it doesn't help them at all. They need to know the reason why it's wrong, because it's before a living almighty God. They need to understand the reason for that, because it cannot satisfy. The focus needs to be on Jesus. They must also understand behavior is not the problem. The behavior is just a reflection of their heart. And if you teach that to your kids, if you, in a situation, address not the behavior, but their heart. You sit down with them. And that's why I say parenting takes time. It takes effort. It's not something that's easy. You need to invest yourself. And it normally happens at the time where you just don't have any energy. You just don't have the capacity. But then it takes that moment to just sit down with them and say, okay, listen, what happened here? Can you see that this is why you did that? Because you really wanted that. That's a selfish heart. And you help them to understand that the reason why they were wrong is not because of what they did. It took me forever to get my kids to say, because I always tell them, there's one reason why we get spanked in this house, and that's for disobedience. Disobedience and honor, we'll get to that a bit later on. But it took me so long, every time that it comes to that point, like, why are we spanking in this house? Oh, because I did that. I'm like, no, you know, it takes such a long time to get them to a place to understand the only reason is because you are disobedient, and this is a thing before God, because you know, I as your parent need to discipline you because your heart is wrong before God. They don't, if you just spank them because they messed up, they broke this, they did that, then that's the focus and it doesn't mean anything to them. They need to understand it before God. Also, we must be an example. One way you just speak to your kid, you sit down, you say, you know what, this happened to me too. Once I was young and I did that, you know, and it was a big, and they're like, really? You also made a mistake? Yes. You know, because your kids sometimes think you've never made a mistake in your life. And that's, they shouldn't think that. They should understand that you struggle with the same things that they struggle with. And so Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Because as we obey, they see our obedience in our life as we disciple them, and that's how they learn obedience. If your kid sees this a situation in your life, and you're like, yo, you know, I need to submit myself to the Lord, I need to be obedient, and they're going, oh, dad's doing that, mom's doing that, and I need to do that. Because their heart's not neutral, disobedience must also be punished, so that obedience can be learned. Of Jesus, it said in Hebrews 5 verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience is one of those things that comes with hard lessons. You don't just learn obedience. doesn't just change like that. One day, like I said, your kid just gets it and like, I want to be obedient. It needs to be learned through suffering. And some of that suffering has to do with discipline. We'll get to that just now. Number two, if you're taking note, authority, another big thing that we want to speak about. Not only is authority the biggest issue in the house, let me tell you, authority is the biggest issue in the universe. Authority is such a big thing. For those of you who've been through our Hebrew studies, you know what I'm talking about. It's all about authority. By authority is how God establishes His kingdom on the earth. You see, the objective is the most important lesson your child can learn is that he is an individual under authority. And that's the one thing that he doesn't want to learn at all, especially when he's young. He doesn't want anyone to tell him what to do. For our home to work, we need a biblical understanding of authority. And so we go on there in verse 2, and it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So the word honor, is a principle in the Bible. The children, the word children that he actually speaks about here is the Greek word technon. That means any child living in your home, any age. If your children are living with you in your home, this is the children that he's talking about, and that honor is to your parents. Honor your father and your mother. That's the first commandment with promise. And again, we see it's God's command to honor. It's God's command to be obedient, and it's God's command to honor your parents. Because authority is a foundational issue in the child's life. You see, God gave clear directions to parents and kids. We must learn to honor their parents and all authority figures. And so as parents, we submit to God, we honor God. The wife honors her husband, husband honors his wife. The children will submit and honor their parents and God. That's the whole idea of a biblical family. The problem is delegated authority. It's somehow easier for people to be in direct authority under God than under God's delegated authority. I mean, in every level, just even look at the country. Lord, how do you want to submit to the people that's ruling the country? God says, I want you to be submissive to every authority that has been placed over you. The same in the home. And delegated authority is what makes it difficult, because today our culture does not like being under authority. They don't want delegated authority over them. They believe they are their own authority. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. This is very applicable to parents. We watch out for their souls as those who have to give an account. We parents are responsible before God as stewards. Watchman Nee said this. He said, it does not require humility to be obedient to God's direct authority, but it does demand humbleness and brokenness to be subject to His delegated authority. Because it's not about the person we know. It's about that position of authority that God has given you. And God has given you as the parents the position in the home of authority. That's yours. The kids need to obey you. They need to honor you. And so all authority we know belongs to God. It's delegated by God to whomever He chooses. So as parents, we don't have intricate authority in ourselves. We are only the vessels that God uses His authority through. So it's not like I now have authority over my domain. That's not the idea. We don't have any intricate authority. Our authority is representative only of God's authority. What we do as parents, we're doing it as stewards of God in responsibility before Him. That means I must not be uncomfortable or confused about my representative authority about God. I'm placed there by the Lord for a very specific reason. As a parent, you do not exercise the rule over your jurisdiction, like I just said, but over God's. You are doing this on behalf of God. That changes, again, the parenting mindset. Because this is not my life and my thing, and this is my family. You are doing this as a steward of God. So all the authority you have is given to you by God, and you stand responsible for Him, how you use that authority. That means every time I exercise authority in my child's life, it must be a reflection of Jesus. Oh boy, that's hard. I mean, all of us have messed up on this area, you know. How well are we representing Jesus in that authority that He gives us? Because that's very important. Your kids must understand that authority is a good and a kind and a loving thing that comes from God. So if you use that authority in the wrong way, your kid's not going to have the right picture of God. Because at the end of the day, he must learn obedience and he must learn authority. That's very important for him. Secondly, I want to tell you gently, you have no choice. It's your duty to engage your children. You are acting in obedience to God. That means you are not an advisor in your child's life. You are the authority in charge of his life. You tell him absolutely how the world works. You're not an advisory role, just, well, like I said, it changes later on in parenting when your kids grow older, then the influence becomes much more important and the authority is going down as your kids grow up. You know, it sort of goes like that. But initially, when your kid is young, he's got, like I said last week, no say. He's got no choices that he makes on his own. You tell him, this is how life is. I'm the authority delegated by God. You have to listen to me. So you're not an advisor in your child's life. Adult children, like I say, they don't owe their parents obedience. That's where the things start. But they do still owe their parents honor. He also says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's the fifth commandment in the scripture. Honor your father and your mother. Obedience is where it all starts. We think about the life of Saul. You remember King Saul, 1 Samuel 15:22? Samuel said to him, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to heed than the fat of rams. You see, the requirements of authority is obedience, humility, and submission. And that's what we are praying for in our own lives and in our kids' lives. Submitting humbly to God's authority, whether it's direct, whether it's delegated, puts you in a right relationship with Him, because that's what it says in verse 3, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's the promise to the kids. If you honor your father and mother, if you obey them, you will live long. God's blessing will be on you. And God promised to bless the obedient child. Not necessarily in a long quantity of life, but a long in the sense of quality of life. Jesus is once again a perfect example. Think about Luke 2 verse 41 to 52. His parents lost him at the feast. Or they thought they lost him. Like, where did Jesus go? One moment he was still there, the next moment he's gone. And the thing is, what they finally found in the temple, busy, you know, talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He's standing there having this discussion about the word of God. And then they said to him, you know, we were looking for you everywhere. You need to come with us. And what did Jesus do? Immediately. First he told them, you know, I should be at my father's business, but immediately he submitted to them. Immediately. Because why? They were the authority that was placed over him. Jesus honored all authority that was placed there by God, even though he was far above anyone else. And because he submitted to them, we read that it says that he grew in favor with God and man. So Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that's the bottom line. If they don't honor authority, they don't honor God. And if your kid doesn't honor God, you know, his life will not be blessed. And this brings us to the focus of tonight's study, the third one, the discipline. So biblical discipline, we need to look at why we need to discipline. Because Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That is the reason why a kid needs discipline. That's the reason why you can't just give it to the kid and say, you make your own decisions. Because foolishness is bound up in his heart from the beginning. That's why we always freak out at church, because it's foolishness multiplied. You know, all the kids together. If there's no adult supervising, they'll get into weird things because there's foolishness bound up in their heart. They'll think that, I mean, one day, Ridley walked out the back door here and we still had the slide up, a long slide. And at the bottom of the slide, there's this whole pole standing. And as she walked out the door, Ben was still young and he was on his little motorbike right at the top of the thing just to ride down this ramp. I mean, he would have gone into the pole. He's like, ah! You know, foolishness. A boy would think, man, that's cool. I can just race down here. You know, he doesn't think about the consequences or anything else. And that's the thing. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. A child's heart is not neutral. Like I said, he'll either serve God or he'll serve idols. So kid needs biblical discipline. That's why you can't let them make their own decisions. Don't think, my kid is just a clever kid. It's not got nothing to do with cleverness. It's got to do with the heart. You have to decide for them when they are young. Proverbs 29 verse 15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Also, Proverbs 29 verse 17 says, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will be a delight to your soul. That's the correction. And so we want to now look at what it is, what is biblical discipline, And that all follows now this picture from obedience and authority that we just spoke about. And then we also want to look at what it is not. So biblical discipline, I want to give you, I think, about 8 things. So the first thing you can write down there is biblical discipline always deals with the heart. It's not the justice in the situation. It's not the situation. It's not the behavior. And the typical example is if you walk into the room and your kids are fighting over a toy. The wrong way when you address the behavior is you walk in and like, what's going on here? Oh no, he grabbed the toy from me. Like, who had it first? Okay, give it back to him. And you walk out and you think like every problem solved. Kids have learned nothing. Nothing at all. Because it's not about justice in the situation. It's not about the situation or the behavior. It's about the heart. You need to tell your kid, why did you take that for yourself? Can you see that you are selfish because you grabbed it from him? Can you see that you are selfish because you didn't want to give it to him? Both those kids' hearts are wrong. So it doesn't help you just go, okay, justice. Yeah, at first, take it and you walk out, because then they don't learn anything before the Lord. So biblical discipline is always deals with the heart. Secondly, biblical discipline is not a choice. God commanded you. God commanded you. Biblical discipline is not about how you feel. It's not about your energy level or your willingness level. Because, I mean, who ever wants to discipline your children? I mean, it's not fun. No one wants to do that. I know for myself, I never have the energy for that. And I definitely don't want to do it. It's not a choice. It's also not about, I'm uncomfortable with spanking my child. Because that's like saying, I'm uncomfortable obeying the word of God. This is something that God commands you. It's not, I'm just going to let this one slip. You know, I'll just like sort of, grace. I'll give him grace. There's a difference understanding biblical grace and, you know, letting your kid off the hook when they are still on the hook before God. Because like I say, it's not about you. It's not about, it's compromising, and then you are ignoring God's command because it's not about you. And I want to tell you, never allow your kids to get away with sin lightly. Because how you teach them about sin is how you teach them about the fear of the Lord. They need to understand the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So if they get away with sin because, I can't handle this. You know what? We'll talk about it later, or I'll just skip this one, or I'll just let you off the hook. Then you are compromising in the lesson for them to learn obedience before God, for them to understand their sin in the sight of God. Look at verse 4 there. It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And exactly like we said last week, the exhortation is firstly to fathers, because the father is the main authority in the home, delegated by God. That's the way that God set up the family. But it's applicable to moms, the things we want to talk to about too tonight. So he says, do not provoke your children. The Greek word there really means to provoke, to anger. So first of all, we said this. I want to just go quickly through what we said last week. Don't tease your kids. You know, don't torment your kids in that sense. Fathers have the ability. You know, you need to understand your kids have feelings. Feelings. You know, like men don't really get that thing. But my kids have feelings. Yes. And so I need to sort of sometimes just sit down and what's on your heart? Because fathers, typically what I do is I just want to solve the problem. You know, I get in there. I just want to solve the thing so everyone's happy and that everyone's working. And that's not really what God wants. God wants it to be sorted out. So you must sit down with your kid. Like, why did you do that? What's on your heart? What are you thinking? And you need to speak to them, you know, and we need to do that. Secondly, that means not just teasing, but don't burden your kids with your expectations. We spoke quickly about last week. Don't push them too hard. Colossians says the same thing. Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Because your children will become discouraged if they can't live up your expectations. But the thing that I want to get to is a bit further than that. It also means don't exasperate your kid by unjust or undue discipline. It's not just about rules and expectations. So the third thing you can write down under biblical discipline is biblical discipline is always fair. Biblical discipline is always fair. You are the disciplining agent of Almighty God. So think about it. You can't be unfair. You can't react from your selfish, from your flesh, from how you feel, because you're acting on behalf of God when you discipline your child. So you cannot be unfair. And I mean, I'm not talking about fairness according to the kids' level of fairness, right? Because they're always going to think you're unfair. That's unfair. How can you tell me? Like, it's not about the kids' understanding of fairness, but the understanding before God. To discipline a child, you should be disciplined yourself. You need to control yourself because you want to represent God in the right way. Discipline is about representing God. So in the same context of discipline, another word there is provoke. That word provoke means anger. That's what that word means. So number four, I want to tell you, biblical discipline is not emotional. Because biblically, the method is as important to God as the objective that you are trying to accomplish. Never ever discipline your kid out of anger. And like I say, I'm sure we all messed up here. All the things that are wrong are not emotional, is shouting, hitting, grounding, all those kind of things. And I mean, I can guarantee you just about every parent has messed up there in this world. Because you feel out of control. My corporal in the army told me that, you know, if you scream, if you shout, you've lost control. And you know what? That's absolutely true. The moment you find yourself raising your voice, trying to talk down your kid, scream at your kid, shout at your kid, it means you're not in control of the situation. And you must understand, again, you are the authority delegated by God. You don't need to scream. The authority is yours. But it's very important for us not to discipline out of emotions. Like, you know, and I mean, I've messed up there too. You know, sometimes you just grab your kid by the shoulder, whatever. They don't want to listen. So you just want to try. But that's not representing God in the right way. Unholy anger. The anger over the fact that you're not getting what you want from your kid will totally muddy the waters of discipline. You'll totally destroy the picture that God's trying to do through discipline in your child's life if you act emotional like that. Because none of the issues that cause us the wrong behavior is addressed. Then it just becomes this issue between you and the child, and they feel like they're being punished because they made you unhappy. That's the thing. They feel like you are unhappy with what they just did. And so the issue is not God. The issue is not the heart before God, but now suddenly dad's upset about something, you know, or mom doesn't like that. That should not be the issue of discipline. That misses the whole point, because what's a child learning about God? What's a child learning about the heart if I shout at him, if I treat him in some kind of way that's not right? And number five, if you want to write that down, is the biblical discipline. The focus of discipline must always be corrective, not punitive. That means discipline is not to punish. It's never punishment. Discipline is not punishment. Think about God dealing with us. God never wants to punish us. He wants to discipline us. Discipline means that you are actually bringing your kid along to understand the right way and leading them in the right way of God. It's never ever to punish. That's why there's no place for anger. If you come with anger into the situation, then you are misrepresenting God. So there's a number of things included in this. Grounding is one of those things. To ground your kid. That's not corrective. That's punishment. That's all it is. Go to your room. You know, go there and sit there until I decide you can come out. Or for the next so long, you can't do anything. That's punitive. That's punishing your kid. And that's misrepresenting God. Because discipline, biblical discipline, is not punishment ever. So that's that idea of you didn't do so or so or so. So now no TV for a week. Or you're taking away things from your kids. That is not the way that God wants to deal with us. Because there's no heart lesson in that. You don't learn anything about the heart that's wrong before the Lord. You just learn like, oh, now I'm losing something here, you know, because I upset that. Oftentimes your kids don't even know what it's about. I've seen when I talk to them before I discipline them, that what they think they did wrong and what they actually did wrong is two vast different worlds. You know, that's why you need to sit down with them and tell them, what happened here? Why did you do that? Can you see your heart? Because they just think maybe you were just upset with them because, you know, they did something and it's not supposed to be punishment. Because what are you trying to teach your child? Same with bribing your kid. You're teaching them to bribe. Next time it's like you just have to get bigger and bigger in the things as life goes on. You know, next time, you know. Why should your kid obey you? Because you said so as the parent. Because you have the authority. That's the reason why they should obey you. There's no other added reason to that. God made you authority. They must learn about authority. So because you said so, that's the right reason. They must listen because you are the parent before God. So the same with playing on the emotions. You know, sometimes people do that. If you don't do that, my heart's going to break. You know, if you don't do that, I'm really going to hurt. You know, it's going to hurt mommy if you do that kind of thing. You know, or you are wasting my money. Don't do that. You're wasting our money. You're doing it. It's like all that. It's an emotional thing to try and manipulate the child, but there's no learning in his heart about sin before God. It's just addressing that situation because you just want out of it. So all these ways are really punitive. It's not corrective in any of those. So none of these deal biblically with the heart, and your kid learns nothing about authority of the parent under God. He learns nothing about the obedience because there's no biblical reasons for integrity or responsibility. That's why it's so important to understand that you must address your child. Discipline is corrective, not punitive, ever. And that's a basic thing to understand. Every time that you're busy thinking you're disciplining your child, just think, am I busy correcting him here, or am I busy punishing him? Because punishment is not something that God will ever do with us. So, authority of the parent under God and obedience is the things that they must understand. They must understand, I'm doing this as a parent under authority. I'm not acting on my own. That's why I'm not getting emotional, because it's not against me, it's against God that they are wrong. So I'm the agent acting on behalf of God. It also says, their fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So bring them up. Just think about the difference in that word. Then he didn't say, fathers, punish your kids. It's like, bring them up. That's a beautiful word. Like, this is what you're trying to accomplish in your child's life. It's your responsibility to teach and be the spiritual example to them. So we want our kids to love the Lord. How do we want our kids to love the Lord? We want our kids to love the Lord with all their heart, that's their emotional life, with their mind, their mental life, their soul, that's their spiritual life, their strength, that's their physical life. Not to make choices out of necessity of survival as parents, but actually out of wisdom, biblically. Because oftentimes we find ourselves, the timing of the enemy is so good. So these things normally happen at a time where you just don't have the time and the capacity, and then, you know, we just deal in a survival mode. But we need to deal with it in wisdom. The word training there is an interesting word. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word training is the word for chastening. That's what it means. Chastening is a disciplining word. God says, I chasten the sons whom I love. As you grow up, like I said, your authority will go down, your influence will go up. Hebrews 12 verse 5 and 6 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. So that's a chastening, is a discipline word. Number 6, if you are taking note, biblical discipline is in and because of love. Because some people see love and discipline as two opposite poles. They think, like, there's love on the one hand, there's discipline on the other hand. I need to find a balance somewhere in between the two, sort of balance love and discipline. That's impossible, because discipline is an expression of love. Biblically, it's not revenge, it's not getting even with the kids for what they did, because a lot of kids feel that, you know. That's why I say they feel punishment. They feel like, now dad's just getting back at me because I broke this or I did that, you know. And it's like, and then it deals on this human level of selfishness. It's got nothing to do with God, it's got nothing to do with the heart. Discipline is an expression of love, you must understand that. Proverbs 3 verse 12 says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. And that's typical. If you love your kid, you want to correct them because you are busy building them up in a relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And you see the word discipline again. It's not punish. Yes, if you spare the rod, you hate the child. That's what the Bible says. It's a clear directive from God. So I don't know why many people are so confused about it, because they feel like, I just personally, you know, I can't really do that. It just feels wrong to me. That's saying, like, the word of God feels wrong to me, because this is God's word. But he doesn't say to use the rod for punishment ever. That's why the rod is taken out of society, because so many people have abused the rod. They're not using the rod ever biblically. They used it punitively to punish kids, and there's been a lot of abuse in that. That was never God's idea. God's idea for the rod was discipline. Think about the important lesson we can learn from the life of David, 2 Samuel 13:21. His own son, Absalom, came, you know, and he did something wrong. He violated one of his sisters. David had so many wives, and what did David do? It says he got angry, but he didn't do anything about it. And we know how David ended up being a father. I mean, Absalom ended up being in rebellion against David, trying to take the throne from him, eventually getting killed. It was terrible. So David was an amazing king. He was not a great dad, because he didn't promptly discipline. He just got angry. And I found myself sometimes there, you know, there's a situation and you feel it's out of control. And what do? You just get angry. You're like, you know, what can I do about it? And you sort of just, you tend to get angry instead of deal with it biblically. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Biblical discipline is part of that, in deed and in truth. We should follow God's pattern, for He lovingly disciples His children for their own good. Hebrews 12, verse 7 to 11 says, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seem best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness." You see the reason? "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And I want to tell you, the enemy will attack you on this. He'll make you think like discipline does not work with your child. Biblical discipline. We'll talk about that in a moment. He will attack you on these things. But the Bible says it may not be joyful for the present, painful. Discipline is supposed to be painful, just like parenting is supposed to be hard, because otherwise the kid doesn't learn. But it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. So here's the thing. What's God's method of discipline? It's twofold. It's communication and the rod. That's God's form of discipline. Those go together. And when I say communication, it's not monologue. It's not that you put your kid down and you speech him and then you punish him, because that's not the thing. It's a question of you have a dialogue with your kid and then you discipline him biblically. So Proverbs 29 verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 22:15 says, again, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." That's how you get rid of the foolishness in the heart of a child. You feel some pain. It's not joyful. It's suffering. It's like, like maybe I shouldn't do that again. You know, that's the way. I mean, even little mice can learn from that, you know. So kids can definitely learn from that. That's the way that God made it. I love this verse. Proverbs 23 verse 13 to 14 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." That's a serious word, but that's depending on the parent's heart. You're not punishing your kid, you are disciplining your kid. So that's that controlled, in the sense of you are representing God. So you're not going to, don't discipline your kid when you are feeling emotional. Take time out and take a breather and come back, because you never ever want to do that, because it's about, literally like he says, you'll deliver his soul from hell. The rod teaches outcome to behavior. That's what the rod does. The rod is an expression of love that teaches your child that they reap what they sow. You do something wrong before the Lord, you disobey, that's what you want to teach your kid. Then this is the consequence. There's hurt associated with the disobedience of the Lord, because that's the way you train up your child. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, "Whatever you sow, you will reap." It's a lesson that your child needs to learn. Hebrews 12 speaks about, you know, that whole thing about the chastening of the Lord. Discipline is encouragement to sons that God designed to produce growth, and it's meant to be painful. So the question is, why do we spank? Why do we spank our kids? Because first of all, God commanded it. And secondly, it enables you to deal with the issues of the heart. Just amazing how the rod works. It just opens up. It's like almost there's a blockage and it needs to be opened up from the bottom upward, you know? It's the way God made a child, you know? Suddenly you get to talk about things. And I want to tell you honestly, you know, we spank our kids from when they were small, when they needed discipline. And every single time it ended up with, "I'm so sorry, Dad." And you hug your kid and it's like, "I'm sorry, I'll never do it again." And it's that love. There's love at the end of that. It's that expression of, and you have to communicate to your child, "I don't want to do this. I hate this more than you hate this, because this is what I do because I'm standing before God. And if I don't do it, I'm disobedient before God." And so my kids know now. Sometimes I ask them, you know, "Why are you going to have to get spanked?" "Because I was disobedient." "Okay, why do I have to do it?" "Because God tells you to." And now my kids know, if I don't do it, then I'm being disobedient before God. And so they test you on that too. They're like, "Okay, you know, Dad's being disobedient, so that's not good." And they try and get away with it still. Number 7, if you're taking note, biblical discipline is about teaching obedience and authority. Because the rod trains your child to be under authority. Again, the rod is something that with the authority, it phases out. As your child grows up, you know, hopefully there's no more need for the rod. Hopefully now you can just talk and you can influence. But in the beginning, there needs to be a lot of rod. Just like there is no freedom in the beginning, there's a lot of rod in the beginning. Because you first need to train your child. And then as they grow up, later you find, well, it's not even necessary to do that anymore because they have the lesson. And like I say, most people do it the other way around. They leave their kids when they're young, and then suddenly they get angry and they get intense when the kids grow up and they want to do their own thing and they wonder why their kids turned out like that. It's about teaching obedience and authority. It also shows God's authority over mom and dad. I'm doing this because God is my authority. God commanded me to do this. I love you. I never want to hurt you. It's not about hurting you. I'm doing this because of obedience to God. You do it for one reason. The one reason why you spank is when they fail to obey and when they fail to honor. They fail to obey their parents and they fail to honor their parents for no other reason. Not because you're angry with your kid because he did something stupid or wrong or what. You cannot discipline your child for that, biblically. The only reason you can discipline them is for these two reasons, for disobedience and for failing to honor their parents. And so this is also important to understand. Me and Reed, oftentimes we talk about this, a situation happened, and I'm like, you know, biblically, that's not a reason for discipline. You feel like your kids should be spanked for this, but they can't be spanked for this, because biblically, it just doesn't apply. It's got nothing to do with honor, and it's got nothing to do with disobedience. So then, it's a character lesson, because there are also character lessons that your child has to learn, and you need to talk to them about these things. That's why I say it's both communication and the rod. They must know it's not venting your frustration or because of your anger. It's to restore them to a place of blessing. They must never think they were disciplined because I was angry. Dad blew up, or mom, this happened, you know, and then now because of that, they are getting spanked. Never ever. Because then they're going to start living in fear of you, because when you get a temper tantrum or whatever, then they're going to think like that's, and that's how they understand biblical discipline. It's not that at all. So it's to restore them to the place of blessing, because afterwards it is very important to take your kid and to talk with them. What I normally do is if I spank my kids, you know, I would do it appropriately. You know, I found that I try to talk to my kids beforehand, but my kids, they go like this, you know, they sort of like, they don't hear anything I say to them beforehand. So I find what I do is, you know, I take them and I just tell them, you know, you have to be spanked now. Yes, why? Because daddy needs to be obedient. Yes. So then I spank them, I close the door. I let them cry and scream and do whatever they do. I give them a few minutes, I open the door, I come back and I go stand by them on my knees. And I stand and I wait for them to come to me. They come to me, they put their hands on me. And then before I take them, I wait for them to say, Dad, I'm sorry. Because that's what you want, that confession of the guilt before the Lord. Dad, I'm sorry I did this. I was wrong. And then you know what I tell him? You know what? I forgive you. I love you. I'm so glad we can be right again. And then everything is fine. It's amazing that there's this joy and this love afterwards, because and you must go back for that. You cannot just ever spank your kid and just leave him. You must always go and make sure you end up the conversation to explain to him, you know, this is not what God wants for you. God doesn't want you to react in that way. I don't like spanking you, and this hurts me, but I'm glad that everything is right, and now we're going to live for God's glory, right? And so until next time. But that's... But we must help our kids see the foolishness in their hearts. This is the whole point of this, because the foolishness that bound up in a child's heart, listen to this, is more dangerous than the temptations from outside. The foolishness in your kid's heart, I love what Paul Tripp said. He says, it's the foolishness inside of them that hooks them to the foolishness in the world outside of them. And the height of that foolishness is the denial of God, eventually. If you leave that unchecked, eventually the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's what happens eventually if they're left alone. Psalm 14 verse 1. We spank for all the issues of defiance, like I said, never ever allow your kids to tell you no. This is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons there's disobedience that you always spank your kid for. You can never let them go. Never let your kid tell you no. That is direct defiance, not honoring, not being obedient. So that's both on the list. And kids do that because they want, I'm my own person, don't tell me what to do. No. If your kid ever says to you no, you need to spank them. That's one of those biblical things you need to do. All kids do that. You know what? One day, I had experience with Ben once where I took him. He did something wrong. I can't even remember what it was because I love to forget and forgive, you know. But he did something wrong and I took him. He was still young. And I took him and I spanked him. And after I spanked him, he reacted in anger towards me spanking him. He was like, ah, you know, whatever. And I just opened up the door and I spanked him again. And he never, ever did that again in his life. Because you cannot allow your kid to say, no, because that's directly against the things that God wants us to train them. It's one of those big, big no-nos. And I know it is one that we all face. It's something that is difficult to deal with, but something that we need to deal with. So that's one of the reasons. So for clarity's sake, I want to tell you, obedience, we have to define obedience because it's very important. Because we get carried away. We don't like disciplining. And so it's a hard thing for us to do, and we try to get out of it. So for clarity's sake, obedience means that your kid does what he's told. So that also helps you to think really clearly about the things you tell your kid. Don't tell them things, you know, that you know. If I tell them this, they're going to mess it up because then you're going to have to discipline them. So you have to think about the things you say to your kids too. You don't want to unnecessarily bring situations into the home. But obedience means doing what he's told. And that means without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. So if you tell your kid, pick up your clothes and put them in your closet. No, I'll do it later. That's delay. That's delay. You know? Or, no, I don't want to. That's a challenge. I don't want to do that. Or an excuse. I can't do it now because of that. You know? You want to teach them to obey immediately. You want your kids to say, yes, Dad. Yes, Mom, and do that thing even if they hate doing it at that moment because you want to teach them the heart of obedience. So all those warrant spanking. If he doesn't do what he's told, pretty much immediately. And you may say, well, you know, that means I'm going to spank my kid a lot. Only for the first few weeks. It's something that they learn. If you are consistent with that, they know they're not going to get away with it. They know that obedience, disobedience will be punished in this house and then they're going to give it up. But kids want to try it. So they're going to do it for a while to see if you're going to stick with your word. They're going to see where kids find loopholes. They are so good with it. They know your weaknesses and they prey on that. And they try to sort of work their way around. But if you don't spank, you fail to take God's word seriously. And you are teaching that to your kids. That I don't really honor God's word if I don't take this seriously. So it's important. If you accept their challenge, their delay, or their excuses, you're not training them in submission. You're training them how to manipulate. Because kids are doing that naturally. They try to manipulate you as the parent. They try to get off the hook. I mean, especially if they get older. You know, we sit with that. A lot of reasons. A lot of things. And so we should sort of guard against a thing like, listen, I'm counting to three. Or, this is the third time that I'm saying this. Your kids should learn you speak once. What I like to do is I do like to give my kids warning. I don't just like to come in and just, you know. So I tell them. If I tell them a command and they don't do it, I say, well, did you hear me? You know, I just want to check. Did you hear me? Because we both know there's a consequence to this. So did you hear what I was saying to you? I just want to check with them. But then I don't go do that a couple of times. Did you really hear me? No. I just ask them, do you hear me? So at least I give them a chance to acknowledge, yes, I've heard you. Okay, so is there something going to happen? Yes, there's something going to happen. Okay, great. You know, that's good. So your kids must understand that you need to speak one time. It's not a negotiation. It's not like the longer they go, then they're maybe going to get off the hook because then you're teaching them to manipulate. You don't want to teach them that. You want to teach them obedience. And like I say, the point of all of this, what makes it all fixed together is consistency. You need to be consistent. Because the moment you're not consistent, I found a place, you know. I can get through there. And I'll just try that again. And I'll try, because they're not going to do it every time. So maybe this time I can get away with it and I can really manipulate my way out of it. Consistency, you must keep on and persevere until the lessons of obedience and submissions are learned. And it takes time. It doesn't happen in a week. And so, yes, you are going to spank your kid a lot in the beginning, but only in the beginning. Especially if your household has not been running like that. it's hard to sort of now, that's why I say, sit your kids down, explain to them on their level. Listen, we want to live as a family that's obedient to God. So in our context, we've been disobedient because we have not been doing as parents what we should be doing. We've not been spanking you as God commands us to. And so we've also been a disobedient. So we want to change that. From today, things are going to be different in the home. And it's going to be a hard time, but it will be a hard time for you. If you're consistent, it will only take a while. And then your kid's going to learn, I'm not going to get away with this. And then every time they're going to think, if they do it, oh, okay, Yana, there's a consequence to this. I'm not going to do that. Your kids quickly learn where your weaknesses are and when they can push you to get what they want. So you don't want mixed messages. If there's not consistency, your kids are confused. This week, every time that something is wrong. Next week, he doesn't do it. So, you know, what is it really? Because then they are totally confused. There's a mixed message coming through. That's why consistency is so important. You can't tell them to obey and then accept disobedience. You understand? So you can't tell your kid, God tells me you need to obey me, and then you fail to discipline them because it doesn't line up those two things. It also says the last word there, it says the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, the admonition, it means teaching, exhortation, encouragement. Like I said, both training and admonition, but training first. Training needs to happen first. The talk and the speaking is good. It sort of works together. But in the beginning, when a child's young, a lot of training in that sense of spanking, it's necessary. Because admonition, number 8, you can write down, biblical discipline means protecting your child. And we must understand, this is a bigger picture. Biblical discipline actually protects your child in so many ways. Because he is vulnerable and because they do stupid things, the foolishness in their hearts, and they hurt themselves. You don't want your kid to be hurt. So let me tell you, protection from a number of things. Protection physically and spiritually because of dumb choices that your kids will make. You need, as a parent, to protect them. When they are young, you need to be very involved in everything that they are busy with. When they are getting older, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, when they are basically at the time of leaving the home, by that time, you know, you're not that involved in that kind of thing anymore, but you need to be super involved in their lives because you need to know what goes on in life. You need to protect them physically. You need to protect them spiritually. So you need to talk to them a lot. Secondly, protecting your child emotionally in relationships. When they're young and when they get older, you need to speak to them. Obviously, when they get older, it's a whole different ball game. When your kids get teenagers and now suddenly they are looking for a relationship, that's a whole different ball game that I'm glad I'm not in yet. But you need to protect them emotionally. You need to protect them from indulgence. And this is important because, you know, a lot of parents allow their kids to do things and to get into things before the time, before they're ready for that. Not just before they're ready for it, because you think, my kid is already ready for this. But before the time that they should be doing that. Not just getting things, but also doing things. You should keep your kid a kid as long as they can be. That's one of the blessings that we have. My kids are still very innocent, and it's great. Because the longer, in the foundational years, the more innocent they are of all the things in the world in the foundational years, the better for them. That's good for them. They'll catch up like that. There's no problem. You know, even I, with computers and stuff, in the beginning, I kept my kids away. You know, every kid's on a tablet and on a thing. I kept my kids away from that. Besides the fact that tablets are really bad, screens are bad for your kids. I kept my kids totally away because, you know what, they'll pick it up like that. They are clever. It's not a problem to pick it up later. It's like, oh, they're going to be behind all the other ones who've been programming since they were 5 years old kind of thing. No. Let me tell you, you want to protect your kid from indulgence, from doing things before they should be doing the things, from making them part of the adult life in certain areas. You do this with dad, or you do this with mom, we should be careful of indulgence. Being indulgent parents means to spoil. You know what? Spoil is a bad word. Somehow spoilers gotten to that point where people think spoiler is a good thing. Like one guy said, he read that verse, spare the rod, spoil the child. He's like, Dad, you should be doing that, you know? Spare the rod and spoil me, you know? Like, as if it's a good thing, you know? It's a bad thing, right? Spoiling is a bad thing. And same with, you know, there are so many things. You can look at TV, you can look at all things. You need to protect your kid from indulgence. You need to. You are the protector in charge of that kid's life, especially when they're young. Let me tell you, I personally feel before a kid's 5 years old, they should not go near any screen at all. Screens are bad for kids. They don't develop properly. They learn a lot of wrong things. A kid should not even be close to a screen at all. That's just my personal opinion on that. But also, the Lord commanded, think about someone like Eli in the scripture during the time of Samuel. The Lord condemned Eli for being an indulgent parent. God said to him in 1 Samuel 2:29, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings, which I've commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people?" In 1 Samuel 3:12 to 13, he said to him, "In that day I will perform against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he shows because of his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them." Let me tell you, as a parent, especially of a young kid, one of your main works is to restrain them. Your kid is like a wild horse that wants to run in all these different directions. Part of parenting, that's why it's so hard, is restraining your child. You need to be the restrainer. Don't let your child run loose. There are few things where they can run that are good for them, but they mostly want to run to the things that are bad. You need to restrain your child. If you don't restrain your child while he's young, you will never ever restrain him when he reaches teenage years. You'll never ever be able to. He'll be ruling you. He'll be telling you what he wants. He'll be just messing up life. I tell you, he's going to mess up his own life and the whole family life. You need to restrain your kid while he's young. And that's why I say, as part of that reset button, you still can do that. You can still, you know, restrain them and say, "I know you used to have that liberty. You don't have it now anymore until the time is right for that liberty." We need to restrain our kids from just going at what they want to go. And then, let me tell you, honestly, number four, you need to protect your child from yourself. Because we need to be strong in our identity in Christ. If we're not strong in our identity in Christ, we will try to find our identity in our kids. And that's not what God wants. Our identity is not in our kids. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Don't find your identity in your kids. Suddenly your kids take over your life. They become everything that you think about. Everything you do is in context of your kids. We're not supposed to live like that. And we need to protect our kids from ourselves in that sense. It also says there, the admonition. Look at the last verse there. The last part of that verse. The training and the admonition of the Lord. That's a reminder that it's about Jesus. It's not about us. The whole biblical discipline thing, the whole children thing, is not about me. It's not about how I feel. It's not about what I want to do. It's about Jesus. It's not about rules. It's actually about enjoying the blessing that God has given you. He's given you this child to enjoy. And it takes a lot of effort. But you know what? All that effort is worth it. Because at the end of the day, if your kid follows Christ and he's in love with Jesus, that's the best blessing that you can have. But you need to understand that Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it." We cannot build this house without the Lord. It's all Him. It seems like we've got a lot to do. Basically, we've got to be obedient to what God says. It doesn't take that much creativity. It just takes that effort to be obedient to what God said. It's also about the heart and addressing the character issues. It's not about the rules, the expectations, because that's all about self-righteousness. Whatever rules your kid's heart is an indication of what they worship. We spoke about worship today in church. Whatever is going on in your kid's life is what they worship. Whatever rules them in their thoughts, their desires, their choices, their actions, the things they do, that's what they worship. So it's a good indication. Proverbs 16:2 says, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." They must learn, Proverbs 16 verse 3, to commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. So starting, like I said, no freedom, no choice, and then gradually working up to complete trust and complete freedom. You want to be able to, when your kid goes off one day to varsity or whatever, you want to be able to say, "I trust you, go. Be a good disciple of Jesus Christ, be a light, shine. I'm not going to worry about you because, you know, I've done my job as a parent." That's what we want to be able to say. And number four, it's about the gospel. It's about the gospel. It's about us understanding the gospel as parents. It's about the kids understanding the gospel, because no therapy can cure you or your kid of your sin nature. There's only one answer. So if you're looking for a quick answer to parenting, Jesus. There's only one answer to parenting. That is Jesus. There's no other answer. We need to be in constant communication with Jesus over our kids. And discipline, like I said, God's sanctifying work through parenting. And thinking about, how does God want me to be a tool in shaping this kid's life? At whatever stage you're in, Lord, what do you want me to learn now? How do you want me to... And we need to pray for our kids constantly for His glory. John said in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:24, again, I want to remind you, He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it.